All right, this is going to be part two of what I, it was really 2 weeks ago was part one. It's called Taking the Higher Road, Love the Best Policy. I'm going to recap just a little bit and we're going to get into part two. We talk a lot about strongholds here, and mainly the strongholds of the enemy, but this is about the strongholds of God. That there's not just the strongholds of the enemy, but God is our stronghold. Okay, we looked at Psalms 127, talking about the stronghold of the Lord. It's a defense, a place, like a fort. Isaiah 40 talked about we exchange. We receive his strength, that even youth faint and are weary, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as eagles. Okay, we saw in Colossians 1 that we've been transferred out of the control of the evil one into the kingdom of his dear son. We were controlled by sin. He took our sin. All right, the sin nature. To the spirit nature, Galatians 5 talks about if you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Just a second. Okay. This is a work being accomplished in us as we renew our minds. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is really the first thing that we should do as Christians. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds so we can know God's will, we can know the way he operates. We're going from glory to glory, being transformed into his image, 2 Corinthians 3:18. When the word of God breaks down a stronghold, it must be filled with a godly one. Now Luke talks about when demons come out of a person or places where they've occupied a person's mind, that if they don't fill it with God's word, they'll come back and it'll be seven times worse. We're told this, that we are to speak to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. This is, we're talking about meditation of God's word. Okay, we have to fill our house. We're also taught that the fruit of the Spirit, they're all love. And faith works by love. God is love. That's 1 John 4, 7 through 21. So to follow the Spirit is to follow love. It's the higher ground because it never fails. And then we looked at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, tells you the characteristics of love. Okay. We, as we walk in the Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to do his love work in us. If love never fails, then how can we fail if we allow God's nature to show itself in our lives? His love has been placed in us, Romans 5, 5. What would cause us not to? Well, hanging with the flesh. That's Galatians 5, 16. Walk in the Spirit. Philippians 1, 6 said, God's begun a good work in you and he will complete it. Jesus was our example in love. And I quoted Brother Hagin, I always ask myself, how will what I'm about to do or say going to affect the other fellow? The love of God constrains us, 2 Corinthians 5:14. Constrain means to hold together or to arrest. It keeps our mouth shut when we want to say something that might get us over into the flesh. 1 Timothy 6 talks about maintaining a good confession, that Jesus maintained the good confession before Pontius Pilate, and he remained silent. Vocabulary silence. Okay, that was part one, so we're going to pick up now with part two. Okay, Matthew 26. Verse 59. Now the chief priest and the whole council sought to get false witnesses to testify against Jesus that they might put him to death. But he found none, though many witnesses came forward at Last, two men came forward and testified, "This fellow said, 'I am able to tear down the sanctuary of the temple of God and to build it up again in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What about this, that these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest said to him, "I call upon you to swear by the living God and tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have stated. More than that, I tell you, you will in the future see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the Almighty and coming on the clouds of the sky." Okay, now Mark 15. Jesus didn't use his words just for conversation. He had a purpose in what he spoke, what God allowed him to speak. He was silent before Pontius Pilate, but then when the high priest asked him a question, he answered it. All right, Mark 15. "And immediately," this is verse 1, "when it was morning, the chief priests with the elders and scribes and the whole council held a consultation. And when they had bound Jesus, they took him away and handed him over to Pilate. And Pilate inquired of him, 'Are you king of the Jews?' And he replied, 'It is as you say.' And the chief priests kept accusing him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, 'Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they are bringing against you.' But Jesus made no further answer at all, so that Pilate wondered and marveled. Now at the feast, he set free for them any one prisoner whom they requested." Okay, so before Pontius Pilate, if he wasn't supposed to answer, he didn't answer. Okay, now John 14. You know, this is, we can learn something from this, because when people question what we do when we're following the Lord, we don't owe them an answer. We don't owe them anything. We don't need to defend ourselves. John 14:30. "I will not talk with you much more, for the prince of the world is coming. He has no claim on me." Key there. I'm not going to talk with you much more, because the prince of this world is coming and he has no claim on me. So where does he have a claim on us when we open our mouth? "But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father and I do only what the Father has instructed me to do." All right. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." He didn't tell us to love the world. And all the people say, "Well, we're supposed to love everybody. We're supposed to..." Where does it say that? It says love not the world. That doesn't mean you're ugly. Let me look at this scripture here. This is 1 John 2:15. "Do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. For if anyone loves the world, love of the Father is not in him." Most Christians don't even know what the Word of God says. I know we're just supposed to love everybody. That's what got us in this mess of this political correctness. Thinking we can't say nothing, we can't do nothing, we just got to love them. Didn't say we had to love them. Said God loved them. "Do not love or cherish the world of things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, these do not come from the Father but are from the world." What did he tell us to do? Who are we supposed to love? All right, John 13. That's the problem we're in right now. The Democrats love the illegal aliens that bring in their sex trafficking and money and all that and don't care nothing about American citizens. John 13:34. "I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another. just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. But by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." So in the church, we're to love one another. Didn't say love the world. It said God loves the world. And when we go in His name, His love comes out of us toward the person. Not our love. He taught us to love one another. Okay, how will what I say or do, how is it going to affect the other person? It's just a good gauge. Okay, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. First one's Proverbs 12:18. There are those who speak rashly like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Okay, James chapter 3. Verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it can boast of great things. See how much wood or how great a forest a tiny spark can set ablaze. And the tongue is a fire, world of wickedness set among our members, contaminating and depraving the whole body, and setting on fire the wheel of birth, being itself ignited by hell. All right, James had it together. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea animal, can be tamed and has been tamed by human genius. But the human tongue can be tamed by no man. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. For with it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men, who were made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come forth blessing and cursing. These things, my brethren, ought not to be so. Does a fountain send forth from the same opening fresh water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine figs? Neither can a salt spring furnish fresh water. Okay, Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. Okay, 1 Peter 3:10. So if we speak God's words, we're going to keep ourselves where we need to be. For let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from guile. Okay, James 1:26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deludes his own heart, this person's religious service is worthless. Okay, Proverbs 15:4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but willful contrariness in it breaks down the spirit. Psalms 45, verse 1. My heart overflows with a goodly theme. I address my psalm to a king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So God writes the script. Song of Solomon 2:4 says, his banner over me is love. The banner there means a flag or a standard, like you stand for the pledge. Well, I remember way back when you were here the first time, Jackie, when we had that vet come for a few weeks. He said the Lord sent him over here because we flew the love banner or the love flag. He said, I thought I'd come check it out. That's what the Lord told him. Okay. Okay, we're going to look at Galatians 6 for a minute. Galatians 6 tells the difference between the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit, for the Spirit. It's wrong, it's 5:19, not 6. I'm just going to list the things that, as I was going through here, the Amplified kind of puts, you know, some different meanings to it, but it talks about adultery, fornication, uncleanness, which is physical or moral, lasciviousness, which is to be mean, meanness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, which is quarreling or wrangling or contentious, emulations is zeal, wrongfully placed, jealousy or envy. Wrath, strife, seditions, which is disunity. Heresies is a choice or a party disunion. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, which is carousing, letting loose. In other words, not restraining yourself. All right, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. This is what God wants us to fill our house of, and to close, empty the house of adultery, fornication, etc. And only God's love can do it. This is another quote from Brother Hagin. It says, Bible teachers say we must have faith to please God, but some casually pass over the teachings that faith works by love and that God is love. Like the Vietnam vet. They walk in love over there. Their flag, the flag they fly is love flag. That spoke to him. He wants some love. We can flow with it or suppress it. Let's look at the standard again. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 shows us the attributes of love. I'm just going to read them. I just wrote them out here. It's 13, 1 through 8. It says, love endures long. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not boastful, vain, or haughty. Love is not conceited. Love is not rude. Love is not unbecoming. Love does not insist on its own way. It's not a self-seeker. Love is not touchy, that's fretful or resentful. Love doesn't get offended or keep a list of those who offend them. It pays no attention to it. Doesn't rejoice in wrong, but rejoices in right. Love bears up always. Love believes the best of every person. Love never loses hope no matter what. Love endures without weakening. Love never fails. It always succeeds. It's a tall order. We must replace the flesh list with the spirit list. The lover sits at the banqueting table. He brought me to the banqueting table. His banner over me is love. Back in our charismatic days, that was a song that we sang all the time. Psalms 23. If that doesn't speak love, I don't know what does. Let's read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely your only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life, and through the length of my days, the house of the Lord shall be my dwelling place. So that's the place to be. How do I walk in love? Believe God and act like you do. Believe what God is saying over what your circumstances are telling you. See, when we follow the Spirit, we will automatically walk in love. What's love got to do with it? Everything. Okay, he healed you, financed you, forgave you, act like you believe it. Isn't that what walking in the Spirit is? We act like we believe what he said and what he's done. Just want to encourage you with that today, that he loves us so much, and getting a revelation of the fact of how much he loves us. It's not about how much we can love others, because it's not even about that, even though we are to love one another. But when you're loved, then you can love. When God loves you so much and you're convinced of it, it's just like what I started out with over there in Peter chapter 4. Don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though something strange is happening to you, but you're partakers of Christ's sufferings. We live in a good place because God has already said yes to everything, and so we don't have any lack. We really don't have any lack. What is that? That's perfect love. What does perfect love do? Cast out fear. What's the opposite of faith? Fear. Oh, no, love. The opposite of fear is love. Not anyway, perfect love casts out fear. When you know God has perfect love for you and you feel supplied and you feel like he's filling all your gaps, what's going to flow out of you? His love for others. Love never fails, it says. His didn't. His love didn't fail. And it won't ever fail. It won't ever fail us. So in light of everything that's going on in the world, we have a place that we can stay. We can dwell. The secret place of the Most High, where we don't have to be afraid because he's taking care of us. He's our shepherd and he's leading us. He's supplying us. You know, I hear a lot, well, you need to be prepared, you know, buy this hydrated food that tastes like a box, you know. All this. Get you a water filtration system and get you all this stuff. And I go to the Lord and I ask him, Lord, what are we supposed to do? He has not said one thing. What you need to do is prepare yourself spiritually. Then if there's something that you need to do, he'll let you know. Okay.